might get a little chilly next week. We talk about the frost potential with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin in his Indiana Farm Forecast, coming up on the Hat Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. More at ffbt.com, or you can just swing into your local branch today and chat about your ag operation. I'm Eric Pfeiffer with the Hat Podcast on this Thursday morning, the 10th of October, 2024. Thanks for joining us. Andy Eubank and Sabrina Halverson have the news coming up next. We'll have a harvest update from Northwest Indiana and trying to get this GM corn thing figured out in Mexico. We've got some folks pushing to get a resolution on this thing already. And I'll have markets with Tom Fritz on the way on the Hat Podcast. The news is next.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
A rapid Indiana harvest pace and variable yields. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank reporting on agriculture. This news brought to you by McDonald's. This national 4-H week, McDonald's of Greater Indiana salutes all past, future, and present farmers across the Hoosier State. The 2024 harvest is moving along rapidly, and in Indiana, the most recent progress update has 29% of the corn acres harvested and 36% of soybeans completed. Both numbers exceed the five-year averages. In a Channel Seeds harvest update, Kate Gorski, field sales representative for Channel in Northwest Indiana, says there has been even more progress in the days since the Monday USDA update.
Yes, harvest was definitely off to a slower start, but now we are moving and we're moving fast. I would say, honestly, soybeans are up to about 45 to 50% in Northwest Indiana. The past 10 days have been excellent conditions for running, and we didn't get much of the rain from the last hurricane. So we were definitely not out of the fields longer like some of the other folks in Northern Indiana. So I would say we're off to a good start and definitely ahead of ahead of time. Corn is around 30%, I would say, in the area too. Some guys are getting done with soybean harvest and switching over to corn pretty quickly.
Every year, yield is dependent on planting dates and conditions and rainfall throughout the season. Variable conditions this year have led to varying harvest results.
We didn't have great planting conditions, as many of you know, this year, and that shows in some of the crop. Corn is definitely starting to show a really good top end and then gets into the variables depending on that rainfall in the area that you're located. Same with soybeans, good top end yields, and pleased with the crop that's coming out with the limited rainfall that's in August and September that was going to be able to finish that grain fill out.
Gorski confirms this 2024 crop in Northwest Indiana has dried quickly.
A lot of things are way more dry than you ever would expect. A lot of guys have been getting into some beans that are 9%. Corn is also, depending on where you're located, if you sprayed fungicide, if you have tar spot, corn is definitely drier than many of the years past.
Hear more in the full Hat and Channel Seeds growing season update at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. U.S. lawmakers are calling for a swift resolution to the ongoing dispute over Mexico's ban on genetically modified corn imports. Sabrina Halverson has more.
The issue stems from actions taken by former Mexican President Lopez Obrador, who restricted U.S. corn imports because of GMO corn. U.S. Representative from Michigan Dan Kildee says it's clear that this ban violates the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement and has urged Mexican officials to honor the trade deal.
This is really a cultural issue for President Lopez Obrador. He wanted to protect local growers. Well, you know, we already negotiated a trade agreement. If he wanted to do that, we would have negotiated in good faith to come up with a way to make sure that our growers have access to markets and do it consistent with his interests. But we can't negotiate an agreement and then suddenly block a product that the U.S. markets have enjoyed the opportunity to sell into Mexican markets.
He says the USMCA was designed to ensure trade is based on science, not cultural or protectionistic motives, which he believes is the real reason behind Mexico's ban. Kildee and other lawmakers have sent a letter to U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, urging them to press Mexico on the issue. The congressman hopes that the new Mexican president, Claudia Sheinbaum, will lift the ban, but there's been no clear indication of change yet. For American farmers, the dispute brings uncertainty. Mexico is a significant market for U.S. corn, and any prolonged trade restrictions could hurt U.S. agriculture.
What I'm concerned about is that at least the former president seemed to be sending the message that he'll take what he can from the U.S., but is only going to give what he wants to. And look, this has been a good implementation. I'm not trying to suggest that USMCA isn't working, but where we have our differences, we can't just fold. I'm doing this to defend our growers. We gave up certain, you know, provisions, certain rights there in the USMCA. It's a give and take, but we don't want to be in a situation where we're providing access to our markets and they're denying access to theirs.
As the USMCA comes up for review in 2026, Kildee believes it is crucial to resolve this issue now rather than later. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
More on that story at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's farm network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup, we've got several more warm and dry days today, tomorrow. I'm going to say that Saturday it doesn't fall off a cliff with regard to warmth, but there's more clouds around, and I guess I won't rule out a few hit and miss scattered showers. Models are divergent on just how much moisture is coming in here, but as cool air starts to break free and move southward out of Canada across the Great Lakes, it's clear that we are going to wring out a little bit of moisture somewhere. There's a pattern emerging that brings rain across parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, into Michigan, and I think we have to allow it to get into northern Indiana in a few spots as well. Will it kick you out of the fields? I'm not going to say that right now. Does it have potential? Sure, at least a short term, but we're not talking about huge moisture totals right now. I think what this is a precursor to is a significant shift in air mass. Large surge of cold air comes down, and it's going to be here for, well, it's going to start to get chilly Sunday afternoon, but we're downright cool Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. As a matter of fact, frost, maybe even some freeze conditions in here Sunday night, Monday, Monday night, Tuesday, and Tuesday night, Wednesday of next week. So be prepared for that. Time to move some tender vegetation or cover it if you need to. We're not done with warm temperatures yet, though, because we start to warm significantly after Canadian high pressure shifts off to the east next to Thursday and Friday. We should see a south flow in here and see temperatures warm and dry again. And even during the cool of the early part of the week, look, I'm not calling for big precipitation. I think there's going to be plenty of lake effect cloud cover around, but we're not going to be seeing a precipitation. So harvest still rolls on next week unfettered. The only way that you're going to be seeing some delays is if you happen to see some moisture Saturday into early Sunday as this cool air starts to move southward. Going into the week of the 21st, seeing a significant weather system starting to come together in the Four Corners region of the U.S., I think that's going to be where we see statewide pauses on a harvest as we get some moisture to finally come our direction. It's not big moisture, but some moisture. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The fields of green have turned to gold, and drivers are sharing the road with Indiana's farmers as they work to harvest their crops. That's why Hoosier Ag Today, the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, and Keystone Cooperative are reminding motorists to be patient with large, slow-moving farm equipment and vehicles. Do your part and make safety a priority. Take precautions. Be alert, slow, and focused. Let's all get home safely this harvest season. A message from Hoosier Ag Today, ISDA,
and Keystone Cooperative.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
A tight trading range on corn. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. We'll have final numbers from Wednesday trade coming in just moments, but first let's get market analysis from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. And Tom, it was a tight trading range on corn on Wednesday. Soybeans maybe a little bit oversold from the big sell-off on Tuesday. We got a little bit of that back. Where do you want to start? What's the big story right now? I know it's really maybe a little bit of positioning ahead of that WASDE report on Friday.
Oh, I think a lot of it is that, Eric. You know, you have to realize, number one, the trade is net short, whether it's corn, wheat, or soybeans. And the trend has been, over the last number of weeks, to cover those shorts. Well, so we're going to come into the USDA's report on Friday. The idea is the corn production may come down just a touch. And basically, that's just, you know, a tenth or two in the yield change. Acres are expected to be unchanged. But the big one's going to be, what are they going to show up with demand? We already know on corn that the carry-in's going to be down by roughly 50 million bushels from the stocks report of a week ago. So demand numbers. Well, you know, you look at the carryout projections, and depending on, you know, whose survey you want to listen to, carryout projections are down anywhere from 80 to 100 million bushels. So the carry-in's only off 50 or so. So that means demand, I think. I don't think the USDA is going to do much in the way of reducing the corn yield, maybe a tenth or two of the, you know, bushels per acre, but that would be about it. But I do like what I see developing in the form of demand. We're seeing South American prices move higher, especially Brazil. They're saying, number one, producers don't want to sell. Number two, they had a short crop last year. They were very aggressive in the early months of their export campaign. So corn's gotten tight down in Brazil. Argentina, well, they had a little bit of a short corn crop as well. And we know Ukraine corn prices, they've been a big competitor of ours. Their prices have been moving higher, and plus they've got a smaller crop this year. So bottom line is, you know, I think you're going to see better demand leading to a more manageable carryout than one over 2 billion bushels. So I think once we get through harvest, potential for corn is to grind higher, if you will. I don't see anything that goes off to the races unless South America has a very poor growing season. They haven't had the best start. It's been very, very dry down there. But, you know, there's been some rain leaking into the western edges of Brazil, the northern edges of Brazil, the far south of Brazil, but nothing yet in the gut shot of Brazil. But listening to your forecasters, that could change as early as this weekend, maybe the middle of next week, for sure by next weekend. So, you know, so we're going to wait for that. But longer term, you know, I think the corn market's got some potential to move higher. But in the short term, I think it's just going to spin its wheels. The wheat market, it's getting a lot of help from intermarket spreading. You know, I think a lot of folks are with the idea the corn market's not going anywhere until, you know, we clean up harvest. And we've got a long way to go in that regard. Demand for U.S. wheat, it's fairly decent. If you look at the rate of exports versus a year ago, the rate of export sales versus a year ago, there's talk the Russian government may lower its wheat crop size as early as tomorrow. We know Russian wheat prices have been coming off their lows. We know Ukraine wheat prices have been coming off their lows. Europe really doesn't have much wheat to sell given its poor growing season. Winter wheat plantings around the world, less than desired conditions, if you will. I know here in the U.S. in the Southern Plains, it's extremely dry down there. And when the USDA starts to report on crop conditions, after the early emergence, they do that for roughly the month of November. You're going to see some really poor looking condition ratings for the winter wheat. So, I think longer term, the wheat market's got some potential. Soybeans, I don't know what to tell you about soybeans. Yeah, they got a little bit of a bounce today due to ideas that yesterday was overdone. And I agree, on a one-day basis, yesterday's losses were probably overdone. So they, they just kind of sat still here today, consolidated, if you will. But soybeans are going to have a rough road to hoe going forward. I don't see much of a decline in the carryout. I don't see much of a decline in the yield, even though there's a lot of chatter about the dry bias suggesting bean yields should be slipping. But, I don't think you're going to see that much on this report. You're still going to see a carryout above 500 million bushels, and there's no place to go when you've got a carryout that strong. So I think, once again, if the bean market's going to have any upside potential, it's going to have to come from a poor South American growing season. And they're barely started. Sure, as I mentioned, it's hot and dry down there, but that's supposed to change. Seasonal monsoons are scheduled to arrive on time, if you will. And I just think, where can the bean market go? The product markets, the meal market's starting to act heavy. Soybean oil, we fall victim to what goes on in the crude oil market, but soybean oil has a tremendous potential from the sustainable aviation fuel sector. I think soybean oil could be a really good recipient of that market, whereas not so much in corn. I don't think they're really favorable to using corn oil in those aviation fuel components. But bean oil, if the bean oil can catch a bit, it's good for keeping the soybeans alive. But once again, we've got a lot of harvest out there. And, I just question, at this point in time, not a whole lot of upside potential out there for the soybean market in the near term.
Tom Fritz there, EFG Group in Chicago. December corn Wednesday up a quarter point, 421. Down a quarter point on the March, 438. Novi beans up 4, 1020 and a quarter. Jan beans up 2.5, 1037. December wheat up 4.25, 599. In livestock, December live cattle down 65, 187.22. And December lean hogs down $1.60, 75.57. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.